Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. At night, a black bear ambles across a sidewalk through the snow. A child peers out the window. The window morphs into the letter B, with the shadow of the bear embedded inside. Black Bear Pictures. Netflix presents a Netflix original film, a Black Bear Pictures production. On a nighttime flight, an overhead light illuminates a young man reading a letter in his window seat.
Dear son, it was such a pleasant surprise to hear from you after so long. I am fine and doing all those things which you know are expected of me in this country. I am glad that you are making a fresh start. There is an old saying that there are things a man can only learn in a city. I have found this to be true, but do not be distracted, my son. Focus on your studies, your goals. We will discuss both when you visit. I shall do better from now on to try to keep in contact with you. Dad.
The man sets his cigarette between his lips.
We are beginning our final descent into John F. Kennedy Airport. Thank you for flying with us and have a pleasant night in New York City.
He reaches up and turns off the overhead lamp. The lights of the city and the embers of his cigarette visible through the window. The plane hovers over a sprawling city core. August 1981. The man stands on a subway platform as a graffiti-covered train slows in front of him. He picks up his suitcase and boards the train. Soon after, he sits on the packed subway car, gripping the handle of his valise. A group of young men board the train. One holds an oversized boombox in the young man's face.
Trying to get tackling high, but if you keep us happy, girl, we'll keep you satisfied.
Due to police activity, the next stop on this local train will be 125th Street.
He tries to exit, but the doors close. An older man seated nearby smirks. Later, the young man climbs the narrow stairwell out of the subway station. Spray-painted drawings cover the walls. He glances behind him.
Shit.
Back on the street, a car zooms past, narrowly missing him. He walks along the sidewalk through the darkness, toting his suitcase and a bag slung across his chest. He continues past a vacant lot, occupied by a gathering of homeless people and littered with debris. A passerby jostles him. He runs up an outdoor staircase. Soon after, he arrives at the wrought iron gates of a stately white building. He stares up at the towering columns flanking the walls and grins. Moments later, he sits on the steps smoking a cigarette. A light shines on his back.
Can I help you?
He turns around.
No, I'm fine. Thanks. Just admiring the campus.
You got some ID? This is a private campus. You can't just wander in here.
I'm a student. I just transferred here. I
need to see your student ID.
I haven't got one as yet.
I'm sorry, pal. I'm gonna have to ask you to move along.
He grimaces, then nods. The man arrives at an apartment building. He tries his key in the door. He presses a buzzer and looks up at the building. He waits on the front steps. After, he He stands in a phone booth with his journal open to the contact information for Salim. A phone number is followed by the message, "Call anytime, brother. See you in the Big Apple." The next morning, the young man awakens on the street, his back leaning against a brick wall between two buildings. He squints, then stands and grabs his suitcase. As he walks by an empty lot, two black dogs surge forward and follow him on the other side of the chain-link fence. He quickens his step. He arrives at another apartment building.
Salim, it's Barry from Occidental. We met a few months back at Amir's party. I'm sorry to knock on your door like this, but you're the only person I...
Barry?
The door opens.
Barry, my brother!
Salim peers down the hall, clutching a baseball bat.
Come in.
Barry enters.
Damn, bro. You moving in or what?
I got locked out of my place. My roommate Will isn't in town
Don't
yet.
Worry, man.
I just got off work.
Barry, Rachel, Barry. Raquel. That's why I said
it's nice to meet you, Raquel.
The blonde in a bra and panties pushes past Barry.
She looked better a few hours ago, bro. You know what I mean? Here, take a beer. Give me that.
His suitcase.
I'll give you the grand tour. This is where the magic happens.
Bedroom.
This is the parlor room.
Raquel lounges in a chair in the littered living room. Salim moves some trash, and he and Barry settle on a couch.
Anyway, welcome to New York.
They clink cans of beer, and Barry smiles. He sips his drink. Title, Barry. In the morning, Barry is asleep on a cot. Sunlight streams in the bedroom window, a full ashtray on the bedside table. He lifts his head. Later in the kitchen, he eats from a bowl as he listens to the radio. Another young man stands eating behind him.
The Republicans, it is the Republic. Today, it is not the Democrats, it is the democracy. There's a crisis in the character of our nation.
You ready?
It's creating tension between the races.
5 minutes.
Barry leaves the building and lights a cigarette.
Yo! College boy!
A heavy-set young man approaches him.
Let me get a square.
Barry offers him a cigarette.
Yo! You need one?
Let me get another one.
Barry hands him another.
Y'all like college?
Sandra.
He hands the man a lighter and he lights a cigarette. Barry's roommate exits the building behind them.
What up?
Hey.
Will looks nervous.
So what you studying up there, huh?
A little bit of everything.
You best seek economics or some shit. Get that paper and get going.
I just got here.
But you ain't staying.
He returns the lighter.
See you around.
He sets the smoke between his lips and strides off. Barry grins and gestures to Will. Soon after, they arrive on the Columbia University campus. Students mill about the school grounds.
Later.
In a classroom.
Justice is nothing else than the interest of the stronger. Now, we all know the Greeks loved symbols, right? They have since antiquity. So what then was the great symbol of democracy in Plato's time? Barry.
Barry smiles with his hand raised in the air.
That's correct. The raised hand. One man, one vote. All of it very public. But when you imagine those raised hands, class, you have to remember
Every one of them held a spear. That's what majority rule meant. So that begs the question, is governmental rule always supported by the threat of violence? Yes, Thad?
It has to be. Otherwise, what authority would it have?
But what about the will of the people?
Sure, the people with the most spears.
But there's more to it than that. I mean, we sacrifice some of our independence to a government in return for security and a kind of collective wisdom.
Security is just another word for the most spears.
Every time there was a vote, the minority didn't count up the spears and decide not to revolt. Once you make the deal to have a government, that government takes on another kind of authority.
What, like a moral authority?
Well,
so Ronald Reagan has moral authority.
Of course he does. He was elected in a landslide.
Okay, if there's one thing Ronald Reagan definitely does not have, it's moral authority.
Sure has a great head of hair, though. Sorry, just kidding. Continue.
Let me put it like this. If the states had voted on slavery, we would have lost the vote. So, yeah. At that point, moral authority kicks in to defend the minority against the will of the people. And that's when the spears come out.
Yeah, I watched the news last night, too, Barry. Jesse Jackson said that thing about slavery.
Yeah, he did. And he's right.
Seriously, the guy who hugged Yasser Arafat is right.
One thing has nothing to do with the other.
All right, guys. Reel it back in. Remember, Plato.
Can I ask a question, though?
Why is everything always got to be about slavery?
Thad glares at Barry. After school, Barry crosses a sidewalk with a furrowed brow. He glances at a group of young black men playing on an outdoor basketball court. He arrives at his apartment building and walks down the hallway. The door to his apartment is wide open. Barry peers inside.
Hello?
He slowly enters.
Will?
He edges down the hallway.
Is anyone there?
Barry cuts cautiously through the kitchen. He finds Salim in his bedroom, rifling through the bedside table.
One mini. Oh, Jesus Christ. How'd you get in here?
Barry, my brother, do you have any ganja? My head is pounded.
Check the ashtray.
Salim digs through the ashtray.
Doing here? Oh,
this whole university experience has changed my life, bro.
You're a bartender, Salim.
So, what brings you to the West Side?
Last night, at the West End, I met this beautiful bird, sociology student from Minnesota. Porcelain features, tits out to here. I mean, we wandered the city all night. But when the time came, I was unable to gain entrance to a dormitory.
So to speak.
So I stopped at the establishment on the corner for a morning beer, after which I decided to pop up here for a smoke and to borrow some cab fare home, if possible.
Now, this might sound crazy, but just bear with me. Do you think there might be some kind of correlation between your constantly buying alcohol and cocaine and the fact that you're always broke?
It's an interesting theory, but I just don't see it.
Speaking of booze and blow,
my friend Daphne is having a party tonight. Now, Daphne is a burlesque dancer. All her friends are burlesque dancers. I don't have to spell it out for you, do I, Barry? What do you say? I take a nap, stay here, and we go together around 9?
Yeah, I promised Will I'd go to a party on campus.
They will never accept us, Barry. I know you know this, my brother.
I don't know. I want to think they will.
You think too much. It's your problem. That's why you never get laid.
Well, I'm not trying to just get laid.
Okay, see what I mean? Fucking shit, man. Look, if I were you...
Salim mimics him.
Hello there, rich white girl. My name is Barry. I just transferred here from Africa. I'm a deep, brooding man who likes to write poems about the mysteries of the human condition. Would you like to unzip my pants, or shall I?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't know you could do me.
Ah, well, the trick is to sound just white enough.
Okay. Fuck you, Salim.
Barry, Barry! I love you.
Yeah.
Barry leaves and Salim settles into his bed. He puffs on the joint. Soon after, Barry sits reading on the sidelines of the basketball game.
Party people,
discotheque. Y'all need all the help y'all can get right about now.
A player eyes him.
Y'all need all the help. Check ball.
Barry reads Invisible Man.
Leave me, playboy. It's about to go down. This ain't the point right here.
Yo, get on!
Guess what?
That's game, baby.
Uh-huh. Next!
Nice, DJ.
These boys out of here, man. Yeah. Next!
A trio of players stand. Barry closes his book and steps onto the court.
I got Invisible Man.
PJ bounces the ball to Barry, and he passes it back. PJ runs towards the net, and another player shoves Barry. PJ gets a basket.
You like that, Invisible?
That's my shot, baby. I can stick that all day.
Barry passes to a teammate. PJ covers him. Barry gets the ball.
I'm gonna let you shoot.
Barry deeks past and does a layup.
This boy got you, DJ.
Yeah, it's all right, player. Yeah. Well, you ain't gonna get too many more of them now that I know you were left. You better count them when you got them.
PJ passes and Barry covers him. PJ's teammate scores.
Oh, big man.
Two players shove each other.
Come on, let's play the game.
You don't know me, homeboy. You touch me again, I'll knock your fucking head off.
Barry backs off, and PJ pulls him aside.
Y'all bow. What you got, Invisible? Ball up.
PJ guards Barry.
Come on, you all day, baby. Like flies on shit, baby. What's up?
Barry scores a basket and grins. That night, he walks with Will.
Jack Kerouac went here. You know what I mean? Allen Ginsberg, Paul Robeson. Where are those guys now?
Dead. Kerouac is for sure. Who is Paul Robeson again?
Where's that scene?
Because it seems like it doesn't exist, or I don't know, maybe I'm just not cool enough to find it.
Come on, dude, you just, we're new, you know? It takes time. You ready to do this?
They bump fists, then enter a fraternity house.
Some beers.
Barry weaves through the crowd of students. A blonde girl stands at the bar as Barry approaches.
All right. So, what are our options? Rum and Coke.
Gross.
Or
gross.
Jack. Not Jack. It's an extremely cheap whiskey.
I'll take one of those.
Okay, sure. Three?
Sure. Yeah.
He pours shots for the blonde and her male friend.
Okay.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They tip them back and drink.
Woo.
The blonde smiles at Barry. Later.
Hey, cake's dinner time. Get the fuck in here. Let's go. Yep, there we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Barry's classmate Thad and a friend hold a student over the keg as he chugs beer. They set him back down. A young woman whispers in Thad's ear and he eyes Barry. He finishes his drink and tosses the cup over his shoulder. Barry nods at him, then walks out of the room. Another man steps up to the keg.
He said he was coming.
Yeah, I guess.
Barry sits on the front step smoking. Two young women arrive.
Hey, you're in my poli sci class.
Julie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with names. Barry.
Hi, and this is Charlotte.
Moral authority.
That better not catch on.
Oh, I think I just did. It's inside joke.
Hey, Julie, what's up?
So, where are you from?
Hawaii, Indonesia, Kenya. Take your pick.
Really? Mm-hmm. Ni Vizuru Kukutana na Wewe.
Really? In front of all these people? I mean, because you're very pretty and I'm flattered, but...
That's not what I was trying to say.
I'm messing with you. I have no idea what you just said. I've never been to Kenya. I take it you have.
He gazes at Charlotte.
Nairobi, for 5 days of my junior year abroad. It's beautiful.
I'm going this summer to visit my dad.
You coming in?
I just came out.
Bad?
It's not my scene.
So what is your scene?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
You like to dance?
Barry smiles at her. Soon after, they arrive in an alleyway. Young people wait in a line outside of a doorway.
Where are you taking me?
Trust me, come on. Hey.
Charlotte passes the line and kisses the bouncer. He lets her pass and she escorts Barry inside. They make their way through a dark hallway, past a wall illuminated with a web of blue lights, and up a staircase into the club. Red lights shine down from the high ceiling as they make their way towards the dance floor. She leads him onto the packed dance floor.
So, what do you think?
This is great.
Seems like me, kid.
They navigate a path to the center of the floor and begin to dance. Charlotte bops up and down in time to the music, and Barry smiles at her and joins in. Goes to the bar.
Could I have a beer and a special?
The bartender winks and smiles. Barry looks around and spots a group of young women standing on a landing. A blonde drag queen approaches him.
Hey, baby. You're adorable. Who are you here with?
A friend.
Do you guys like to party?
Define party.
Adorable.
The drag queen takes two drinks and walks away. Barry glances up at the DJ booth. The crowd moves into a circle as a breakdancer takes the floor. The dancer spins around on his hands. Charlotte turns to Barry.
Have you ever seen this?
No.
It's a New York thing.
Another dancer whirls on his back in fast circles. Barry gazes at Charlotte and smiles. Later, they exit the club. They stand in the alley. He takes her hand and they walk away. The next day, Barry sits at a diner with Will.
I don't know, man. It feels provincial up here somehow. Like it's a bubble. I mean, most of these kids, their future's already set. Like, that guy's gonna be an econ major at the Wall Street. He thinks he wants to study history. No, but everything's pushing him in another direction. His family, his background, what people expect of him.
So does he even really have free will? You gotta take moral philosophy, man, I'm telling you.
We talk about this stuff all day.
I read somewhere that college isn't about learning. It's about training.
Training for what?
To want what you don't need and to leave who you are at the door.
But we're supposed to leave who we are at the door. I mean, that's the point.
Well, some people can't leave who they are at the door. I mean, right, you know I'm the only black person in four of my five classes.
But you're half white, too.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just that you can fit in anywhere, right?
I fit in nowhere, Will. But, I did meet this girl last night.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Barry hurries towards Charlotte's apartment with a takeout bag.
Am I late?
No, it's just started.
He enters, and they watch TV.
Whether or not we've accomplished the first part of what has to be done, which is fiscal stability, so as to bring us to the point where we could enhance the services, and we have, in fact, improved some of the services in the first 4 years.
The biggest city in America, and this guy gets to run as a Democrat and a Republican? Fucking joke.
Well, nobody's watching except us.
So, why are we watching?
It's our civic duty.
Politics is bullshit.
You don't really believe that, do you?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, come on, the president's an actor.
So how does change happen then? Or do you not believe in change either?
I believe in art. I believe in, I don't know. People creating change. I just don't believe in
them. If you say the system, I'm going to scream.
The system?
You're one of them.
A socialist?
A poet.
I am a poet, actually.
You're cute.
She caresses his arm.
What's cute about me?
Your politics.
My politics are cute.
Done a good job in getting fiscal stability and getting us to the point where we can hire 2,300 new police
I'll take that.
And a whole host of thousands of
they kiss. People. As their passion intensifies, they remove each other's shirts and lie back on the sofa.
Is apathy. People
she wraps her legs around his waist.
Come to the polls because the people who don't like me are going to rush to the polls, and that is the message that I'm imploring everybody out there to consider.
Smile.
Another day, Charlotte photographs Barry in a park.
Come on, loosen up.
He sighs, then forces a smile. She snaps a pic, then puts her fedora on his head.
It's just for a second, I promise.
He poses in the hat, then removes it. He walks away, and Charlotte follows.
I want to race.
What?
Let's race that tree.
You don't want to race me. I'm fast.
Me too. And I don't smoke a pack a day.
Yeah, I'll pass.
What, afraid to lose to a girl?
I'm not afraid of losing at all.
So you'll talk shit, but you won't back it up. Come on, Barry. Show me what you got. On your marks, get set, go!
She takes off running.
Another racist myth debunked.
Yeah, pretty fast.
They high five and he puts his arm around her. Later in a gym.
Game point.
To play.
Barry has the ball. Another basketball player blocks him.
What you got, homeboy? You got some?
Barry sneers. He weaves around his opponent, shoots, and lands a basket.
It's game. We got next.
I gotta get to class.
You breaking up the dynasty?
Great, so.
Barry holds out the ball.
Shoot to replace him. Open.
Barry turns around as PJ saunters onto the court. Barry tosses him the ball, and PJ shoots from the three-point line and lands a basket.
Nice feed, Invisible.
Barry nods.
Ball up.
Soon after, they eat in a cafeteria.
Never been in there.
Best food on campus. B-School got that dough. I used to eat in here even when I was an undergrad.
So what? Finish business school and then Wall Street? That's your plan?
Basically.
Only black guy at your firm. I mean, racist jokes around the water cooler?
Workplace discrimination lawsuit. Seven-figure settlement.
Yeah, fair enough. You always want to be a finance guy?
I'm from the Graham houses. You know what that's at?
Barry shakes his head.
122nd in Lenox. It's about 5 blocks away, but it's a totally different world. I didn't come this far to not make money.
I hear that.
What about you? Where are you from?
Well, Honolulu, mostly.
No shit? They got brothers in Hawaii?
Yeah, a few. I am. I grew up in Indonesia for a while, too. My mother married a guy from Jakarta.
You a whole different type of motherfucker, B. You do realize that, right? I mean, I barely left New York.
Yeah, but... I mean, it's New York.
Please. New York ain't shit.
Later, Barry lies in his bed smoking and reading a piece of paper. He stares at the letter as smoke wafts up from his cigarette. Later still, he walks along the sidewalk and passes a group of black women wearing dress coats and hats. He arrives at a row of street vendors. He peers at the wares as he strolls along, then approaches a table stacked with books. He picks up The Souls of Black Folk by W.E. Burghardt Du Bois and reads the back cover.
How much?
That's $2.
Barry pulls out his wallet.
Here you go, brother.
Thank you, my brother. And I envy you for that one.
What's that?
Because you're about to read that for the first time. After you finish, slide back by and let me know how you liked it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Barry smiles, then continues down the sidewalk.
Yo, Invisible. What's up, Ali? Yo, you going by the course today? Yo, this dude got the ill baby sky hook, like magic.
I'm gonna try. You?
Yeah, for sure. Maybe round two.
Cool. Catch you there.
All right, then. Be easy, homeboy.
Like Sunday morning.
He nears a man with a bullhorn.
For the captives of a tyrant's rescue.
Now, what that means is, can we, the lost tribe of Israel, reclaim what is rightfully ours from the cave-dwelling white devils that raped our ancestors, stole our land, and dispersed the true children of God across the globe?
A white woman.
Bree!
Hey! I ain't no devil. This is not the words of Jesus Christ.
Shut your mouth, cave bitch! Yes, you are a cave bitch. Do you know what Jesus Christ called the white woman in the Bible? The female dog. And what is a female dog? Don't be afraid to say it, brother. That's right. A bitch. That's what Jesus Christ called you in the Bible.
How come you're using the King James Bible?
What?
Well, why that addition? I thought King James was a white devil.
The leader points to a picture.
It's King James right here. Take a good look. He looks like Billy D. Williams, if you ask me.
If you say so, brother.
Barry strides off.
Now you might ask, how did the lost tribe of Israel become lost? Well, I'll tell you.
That night, Barry is at a bar with Charlotte and Salim.
How about her?
No way.
Why not?
She tried way too hard. Zero self-esteem.
So she'd sleep with me.
Rob?
So that's a yes, then?
No.
Big time. No.
I don't think you understand the nature of this conversation, Charlotte.
I don't really think I want to.
Looks like your boyfriend's off on Pluto again.
Ground control to Barry.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Willie. What's this? Buy one, get two free.
You want to join us?
No, thanks. I think we're going to check out the band downstairs.
Okay. Well, see you around.
Yeah. See you.
So, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? Anybody here dig turkey tikka masala?
I'm going to Connecticut. You guys are welcome to come with me. I can meet the clown my sister's marrying.
Well, I love clowns. Let's go to Connecticut, Barry.
I'm allergic to Connecticut. I break out into these gross white hives. I'm sure your family would love you showing up with a Pakistani and a black guy.
Oh, well, you're not that black, Barry.
No, seriously. They really want to meet you.
I want to meet them too, but maybe we should do it in a more neutral ground. Someplace with a lot of witnesses.
Charlotte frowns.
I'm gonna go talk to that girl with low self-esteem.
Look, my parents are gonna love you.
I'm sure some of their very best friends are black.
They are, actually. I know what you were doing. The question is why you feel the need to do it. Look, I just really want to spend Thanksgiving with you. Maybe we could do it here a day early, and then I can go up to Connecticut by myself if you don't want to come with me.
I'd like that.
At the bar.
Back on Columbia campus, they're students. I'm not really old.
The next day, Barry sits in a lecture hall. Barry closes his desk and exits the classroom. Soon after, he sits on a bench and lights a joint. He exhales a plume of smoke as he gazes out over the city. He inhales deeply and flicks the ash on the ground. He pulls out a miniature cassette player and dons headphones. He presses play on the Walkman as he exhales another mouthful of smoke and sets earphones over his head. Soon after, Barry walks slowly down the street with a grin on his face, the earphones over his head. He continues along the sidewalk and passes a wall with oversized graffiti lettering. Barry arrives at a park. Sunlight filters through the trees, and towering apartment buildings are visible in the distance. Barry sits on the grass writing a letter. He starts, "Dear Dad." He closes the journal and lies back on the grass, his hands behind his head and the sun beating on his face. Later, he strolls down the sidewalk with Charlotte.
So, I'm a little worried about Celine being in charge of Thanksgiving. I mean, can he even cook?
Everything about that man is a mystery, including these ingredients.
Yeah, what is ghee? And
You may have gotten out of Thanksgiving with my family, but that means I'm going to have to take you to my sister's wedding. And you're going to have fun.
At Barry's apartment.
And you know I'm going to cause a scene at that wedding.
Oh, really?
And once folks get a load of my moves on the dance floor.
America.
They head inside.
Aloha!
Mom?
Surprise.
Surprise.
You're supposed to be in Jakarta.
I had a conference in L.A. Oh, my word. And here I am.
Here she is.
My beauty.
She hugs him.
Mom. This is,
Charlotte. Hello. Such a pleasure to meet you, Mrs.
Anne. Just Anne, honey. It's nice to meet you, too.
Soon after, they assist Salim in the kitchen.
Charlotte, some peas, please.
Mm-hmm. Barry, honey, do you have a salad bowl?
He opens a cupboard and hands his mother a colander.
Does this work?
How about a knife?
Barry retrieves a steak knife.
How about this?
Not exactly Julia Child, huh?
Well, Salim's sort of a child.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're sort of a poopy head.
Is the atmosphere around here always so intellectually charged?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, as a feminist, I would never endorse the sort of retrograde patriarchal paradigm that would paint you as a sort of domesticating, civilizing presence in this household.
Oh, no, of course not.
But if I did, I would say that you have got your hands full with these two knuckleheads.
Damn, Barry. Your mom can talk some shit.
At dinner.
So do we get to hear some embarrassing stories about Barry or what?
I'm sorry to be dull, but I don't really have any. He was so easy. Even his birth was easy. I was 19 at the time, so that wasn't the easiest, and neither was his dad. But what can I say? He is my darling boy.
What wasn't easy about his dad? Barry barely talks about him. All I know is that he's some kind of high-up government official.
Yeah, I only met him once. He showed up in Hawaii when I was 10 and tried to tell me how to live my life.
That's not true. He was around when you were little. He's a lovely man. We just weren't well suited for each other.
Because he had another family in Kenya, Mom. He lied to you.
It's a little more complicated than that, but we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah. She always defends him.
You know what? He gave me you.
Barry looks up at his mom.
Barry must have had some terrible haircuts, at least.
This is true. I used to cut his hair.
It's something no white woman should do.
She nods and gazes at him fondly.
Probably not.
Barry looks down at his plate. Later, Barry and Charlotte snuggle in bed.
Your mom is awesome.
Yeah, she's something all right.
No, seriously. How many girls from Kansas end up working at the Ford Foundation in Indonesia?
Well, first you marry an Indonesian guy, then you move to Indonesia and realize you need a job.
That's not fair.
No, it's not.
Barry stares ahead as Charlotte runs her finger along his stomach.
What are you gonna do with her tomorrow? Most of the rest of the world is having Thanksgiving.
I'm sure she'll have some ideas.
Charlotte falls asleep. The next day, a film title appears on screen, Orfeu Negro. A quartet of men wearing bright clothing dance and beat drums. Inside the darkened movie theater, Anne smiles at the screen and bops her head in time to the music. Barry glances at her. She turns to him and grins, and he averts his eyes. On screen, a black man clasps a black woman's hand. The female actress stares at the actor, and his face breaks into a wide grin. He lays his head on her palm. Later, Barry and Anne stroll along the sidewalk, arm in arm.
Is something wrong, honey?
I'm just thinking about the movie.
About you and the movie.
What was it you loved so much? When you first saw it, I mean.
It was beautiful. It was so exotic. I'd never seen anything like it.
Like that?
She turns to him and blinks her eyes.
Your dad hasn't written, has he?
Why?
Well, he's fallen on hard times, I'm afraid.
What happened?
Well, it's all secondhand, but he's not working, and when he's not working, he has a tendency to drink.
He invited me to visit.
That is fantastic. Oh, honey, there is a whole part of you there just waiting to be discovered.
This isn't Roots, Mom.
They pass a group of street musicians.
Okay, now this takes me back.
This land is my land, from California, right on, brother.
You're so corny, Mom.
She purses her lips and fakes a pout. They continue on.
How are you, Barry? How are you, really?
Honestly?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, sometimes I feel like I want to breathe in everything New York has offered. Just make it all mine. And other times it all seems like one big distraction. Well, people seem like distractions. I feel like I could just stop talking and, I don't know, just disappear. And become a monk and read and write and think for a year.
Don't do that.
You know, every time I open my mouth in class, it's like I'm supposed to speak on behalf of all black people. Meanwhile, I quit going to black student union meetings because I didn't feel like I belonged there either.
Anne's eyes are glossy with tears. She regards him thoughtfully. She reaches up and touches his cheek.
The world is a big place, honey. You'll find your way.
The next day on the outdoor court. Barry scores. Barry makes a basket.
Come on, and let's see. Let's see.
Barry steals the ball.
Uh-oh.
Oh! That's a good ass pass.
Ladies and gentlemen, young Ralph Ellis in the house tonight. I know you can't see him. Uncover your eyes, he's already invisible.
Barry steals the ball.
Uh-oh! Oh!
He scores.
Oh, my goodness. It's the reason they call him the invisible man.
Later, Barry tries to knot his tie in the bathroom as Salim urinates.
Look, let me give you some real deal, Salim, advice. You want to impress her parents? Order for her. Don't ask her what she wants. Just, I'll have lobster. And a magnum of your finest champagne. And the lady will have a salad with a glass of water with lemon. Or, how about whatever they ask you, you start every answer with, shit, motherfucker. So, Barry, New York must be quite the change from Hawaii.
Shit, motherfucker, it sure is.
Have you started to think about the summer yet, Barry?
Shit, motherfucker. I'm considering taking an internship at a law firm.
These are they're all great ideas.
Yep. Damn it.
Yeah. Let me. Yeah. You know, there's a lot about me that you don't know, my brother. For example, I used to work at a bank for almost 2 years.
And I never ever, watch your chin, robbed the place.
Salim fixes his tie.
Another beer for Daddy.
Thanks.
Barry tightens the knot, then folds down the collar of his shirt. He regards himself in the mirror. Later, Barry makes his way up a winding staircase, past framed portraits of distinguished old white men. He adjusts his jacket in a bathroom mirror as a white man washes his hands nearby. The man turns to Barry.
Can you hand me a towel, please?
The man dries his hands. He reaches into his pants pocket and pulls out a bill. The man sets the money on the vanity next to Barry, then exits. Barry picks up the $5 bill. He slips the money into his jacket. Soon after, he strides into a formal dining room. He joins Charlotte and her parents.
Oh, there he is.
He pecks Charlotte on the cheek.
Bill Bauman, pleasure to meet you.
Barry.
My wife, Kathy.
So nice to meet you. We've heard so much about you.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
They sit.
Barry, I feel we're at a little bit of a disadvantage because Charlotte got to spend the whole day with your mother and all we get with you is a dinner.
Also, Barry's mother is way cooler than you two could ever be.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Well, I'm prepared to make the most of the time we do have. I mean, I'll eat two entrees if I have to.
You know, I have to admit, it's kind of strange for me to be at the Yale Club.
Kathy glances at her husband.
I'm from a Harvard family.
Huh. Didn't know that.
That makes two of us.
Yes, sir. My father did his PhD in economics there, on a full scholarship, as a matter of fact.
Well, he must be brilliant.
Oh, he is something. I mean, Dad was born in Kenya, and he and my mother met when he was studying at the University of Hawaii. The program that brought him over was funded by the likes of Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier and the Kennedys.
How remarkable. Mm-hmm. And where is he now?
Dad's back in Nairobi. I believe his title is Senior Government Economist.
Mm. Such a fascinating country. Are you able to visit often?
I plan on going soon. Well, as soon as Charlotte teaches me a little more Swahili.
After I finish teaching him about New York City politics.
That could take a while.
And some alcohol.
Well, I hear you're something of a political organizer, Mr. Bauman.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say that. I've arranged bail for some organizers. Represented the unions for years, but nowadays I spend more time raising money for candidates. It's not something I particularly enjoy, but it's more important than ever. Pretty soon, our only real game plan might be to outspend the bad guys.
Oh, and hope all that money doesn't turn everybody into bad guys.
Something like that.
Oh, come on, Dad. I've seen those pictures of you and your ponytail marching for civil rights.
Sure, but everybody did that.
Oh, not everybody.
Of course, not everybody. But everybody we knew in our little liberal enclave.
So how'd your parents feel about your, little liberal enclave?
Mine, not so good. Bill's.
Worse. But, you know, without their support, I don't know if I'd have had the courage to spend my career fighting the good fight. I might have gone corporate. Who knows?
No, I've got a good friend who's making that decision right now. He's from the Graham houses, if you you know what those are.
No, I don't believe so, no.
Harlem. It's one of the biggest public housing projects in the city. He says he didn't make it to Columbia not to earn money.
Well, that's very understandable.
I don't know. It's, I think he's going to be miserable.
Bill nods and looks down at his plate. Kathy smiles tightly.
But
Hey, well, what do I know?
Aside from the fact that these lamb chops sound amazing.
Oh, couldn't agree more.
He glances at Charlotte. After dinner.
Can we give you a lift back to school?
No, thanks. We're going downtown.
We are?
Yes. You need to dance.
Sometime later, a crowd is packed onto the dance floor at the nightclub. The DJ is visible on a landing above the throng of patrons. Charlotte and Barry dance in the middle of the floor. He waves his arms in the air, and she spins around in front of him. He twirls her around, and they groove in front of each other. A glittering disco ball hangs high above the dancers. Later, Barry and Charlotte walk home.
You think you need to teach me?
I need to teach you.
Are you kidding? That girl was positively afraid of you.
And good evening to you two lovely lovebirds. Yell out a good night.
Great night.
You got a square college?
It's my last one, boss.
Come on, give me a bus down then.
Barry hands him the cigarette.
I keep it. But one of these days, I'll make you buy me a pack.
Oh. What you just tried to save my mans? You gonna make them? The fuck is you, nigga?
Go on, yo, relax, Milton.
Nah, who the fuck said you could walk down my block?
Yo, this kid is cool, Milt. Chill out, bro.
You don't look cool to me. Nigga look like a motherfucking puss.
Man, I live here.
Fuck you. You ain't from here.
I didn't say I was from here. I said I live here, okay? 142.
I'm from here. You understand? Born and bred.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, you're good for you.
The fuck is you walking away from me?
Yo,
he aims a gun.
Chill out, man. Yo, put that away. Yo, meet out. Don't do some shit you're gonna regret.
The man gestures to Barry, then turns to his friend. Later, Charlotte and Barry lie in bed. She sleeps on his chest and he stares at the ceiling. The next morning.
Where are you taking me?
Barry points to a street vendor.
Hey, brother. You got some of that Egyptian musk?
Incense or oil?
Oil.
1, 3, 5.
I'll take a 3.
He pays and the man hands him a vial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Barry dabs it on his neck.
You like that?
That reminds me of my friend Idris. He always used to wear Egyptian musk.
Hey, try this. It's called Black Love. Drives the sisters crazy.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Who's Idris?
From junior year abroad. He goes to Emory.
Right.
They continue down the sidewalk and Barry purses his lips. Charlotte stops at the bookseller's table.
Hey, Miss Lady.
Hello.
How are you? Hey, my man. Good to see you. How did you like that Du Bois I hit you with?
Deep. What else you got for me?
Let me see here. I think I know just what you need. How about this Ralph, Invisible Man? I
already read it.
Oh, I'm impressed. You know he lives not far from here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We've been waiting on a sequel for a long time.
Maybe he said everything he needed to.
Might have dropped a little too much truth for them in this one, baby.
Oh, I love this book. Have you read this?
You got good taste, Miss Lady. James Baldwin.
Thank you. I'm buying it for you then. How much?
That's on me.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
Yeah. You guys enjoy your day.
Charlotte hands Barry the book, then walks on. Barry follows pensively behind. He steers Charlotte away from the man with the bullhorn on the corner.
Hey, we have lunch at Sylvia's.
Where's that?
You've never been to Sylvia's?
No, Charlotte, I've never been to Sylvia's.
Trust me, you're gonna love it. Right over there.
Men far away, and there be Sylvia's a great forsaking in the midst of this land. And he cursed Canaan.
At the restaurant.
$10 for a plate of fried chicken.
It's so good, though.
I guess these people don't mind. And there's stuff in their faces while folks panhandle right outside.
That Sunny restaurant.
MNG. Six blocks away. Same menu. It's $4 a plate.
Are you mad at me or something?
Did you notice you're the only white person in here?
No, I'm not. And besides, why does that matter?
Nobody's looking at you. They're looking at me. The brother with the white girl on his arm.
Who? Oh. Who, Barry?
You don't see it.
So show me.
I can't. You're not used to being visible.
Visible? I'm a woman. You think I don't get stares, catcalls?
That's not what I mean.
And besides, I thought the whole problem was being invisible.
They lock eyes.
You already ordered.
After lunch, they stroll hand in hand down the sidewalk, avoiding eye contact. Charlotte mounts the steps to her building, and Barry remains on the sidewalk. She faces him.
You want to come up?
No, I think I'm going to go play some ball.
She nods.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Call me later.
Yeah, I will.
She kisses him and he starts off. He stops and stands in front of her.
I love you.
He nods slightly.
Thank you.
Barry walks away. Later, Barry and PJ watch a game on the outdoor court.
Brett!
Hey, yo, Invis.
Oh.
You should come out with us tonight.
What's on the agenda?
Your girl Tisha's having a thing.
Tisha? Really? You don't need to be taking Invis to nobody ghetto-ass house party.
Why not?
Why not? Hey, this man from Indonesia and Hawaii and shit, man. You don't need that in his life, bro. Take him to a luau or something.
How's a brother supposed to get culture?
Y'all serious?
Barry grins at PJ.
You know, that we all see, man.
Oh!
That night.
Thank you. What are you, Han Solo or some shit?
Han didn't say thank you. He said, I know.
That's the coolest way to say it, sure.
I fucked up, huh?
Well, if you loved the sister, you did.
Yeah, why would she say it then? After the worst 2 hours of our whole relationship.
Let me think. That's exactly why. Look, if she says it to you again, you either gotta say it back or walk off.
There he is.
They meet their friends.
My man.
It's about time. Yeah, thirsty?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Let's crack these babies.
They open beers.
All right. Ooh.
They approach a building.
That's good. Look alive, Invisible. And welcome to this episode of Project Safari. Now, in the projects, excuse us, ladies. In the projects, the elevators go out all the time. Now, if you're somebody like my man, Mr. Jim here, how you doing, Mr. Jim? Or if I'm some old lady with grocery bags and I'm trying to get all the way up to the 10th floor, you're wondering, how do you get up there?
You ask a nice young man for help.
If you can find one.
Hell, you sit your ass down on the bench and wait for them to fix them shits.
Hell yeah. All right, now, right through here, we have what you call the pissy staircase. For obvious reasons, I'm sure one of your five senses will pick up as of why. Now, I would advise you not to touch nothing because you could get the itchies and scratches. It's hard to get rid of that. So, you want to see some more? You want to go to the party? What you want to do?
More. More?
Come on, man. I got ladies waiting for me.
You know damn well ain't nobody waiting on you. He lying. Come on, we'll see y'all later. Come on, B. Right this way. Now, the projects ain't all fun and games. Matter of fact, far from it. But you do got to keep a sense of adventure. That's why the police hate coming up here, because you never know what's behind door number one, behind door number two. Matter of fact, you know what a shooting gallery is, B?
Barry shakes his head.
Well, take a look behind door number three. It ain't for guns.
PJ opens a door to reveal a man with a syringe between his teeth, sitting in front of another man with a tourniquet on his arm.
Then you got motherfuckers like me. Same environment, same everything. Like, what the fuck, right? But I guess life is what you make it. One thing to remember, though, through all of this is government housing. This is how the government does our people.
Barry surveys the dingy hallway.
So, this concludes our episode of Project Safari. I've been your host, and I need another bit. This one is gone. Excuse us. Right this way.
They enter the apartment.
All right.
A crowd is crammed into the small unit. Partygoers smoke and sip drinks from plastic cups. Barry stands beside PJ.
So what you think, man?
It's beautiful.
Whatever you say, man. Enjoy yourself, though.
PJ approaches two women as Barry sips his beer and smiles.
How you doing, PJ?
I'm good, Miss Denise. I'm fair for a square. How you doing?
Good.
She kisses PJ's cheek. He glances back at Barry.
Yo, Invisible. Come over here. I got some people I want you to meet. So my girl T-shirt's up here.
Welcome.
This is Lionel. You keep your hands off. And Miss Denise.
Barry. Nice to meet you. Wanna dance?
Sure.
Barry shuffles from side to side, and Denise smiles and grooves along to the music. The living room floor is packed with dancers. Denise and Barry dance in the middle of the room.
So, where are you from?
I live on 109th in Amsterdam. You?
She points up.
Now, you know this just don't make no kind of sense.
Heaven.
Eighth floor.
Denise puts her arms around his neck and they move to the music. Later in the hallway.
What's living on the eighth floor like?
Well, it's pretty much exactly like this. Wow, you want to see it?
I want to see everything.
So, why do they call you invisible?
It's because I'm a spy. And I probably should have told you that, but I'm getting a good vibe. You seem trustworthy.
Who do you work for?
I'm freelance. And, you know, spy just for my own edification.
I think that's called a peeping Tom. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
A man punches him in the face.
What the fuck, Reggie?
That's my girl you talking slick to.
What are you
Who
doing
is it?
Here? That's my
Who
friend.
Is it?
Inside, PJ exhales a puff of smoke. Barry slowly re-enters the apartment. He touches his bloodied face.
face, B.
Some asshole hit me.
I got some ice.
Who hit you? What'd you do to get hit?
Here, use this. It's cold.
Barry chugs the beer.
That was supposed to be for your face. Whatever.
I gotta go.
No, you don't gotta go. Sit down.
Nah. Save my scene.
PJ stares at him, and Barry leans back on the kitchen counter and hangs his head. PJ looks at the bloody wound under Barry's left eye. Barry finishes his beer, then grabs his coat and exits. Barry staggers out of the building wearing a jacket and scarf. He puffs on a cigarette as he leaves the project complex, then glances behind him. He continues unsteadily forward, and a woman bumps into him.
Hey, you looking for a date?
He looks back at her as she leans against a fence. Soon after, he passes a group of white students and bumps shoulders with one of them. He heads to the Columbia campus and passes through the iron gates. A police officer shines his flashlight on Barry's back.
Hey. Hey.
Barry stops and slowly turns around.
You got some ID? I'm a student here. ID.
Barry shades his eyes.
I don't have to show you anything. Are you giving me a problem? We got a problem here? Well, I don't see you IDing them. So what's so special about me? Huh?
I'm gonna ask you one more time.
Hey.
And
hey,
it's cool. I know this guy. He goes here. He's a student. It's all right. It's okay.
The cop lowers his light.
No open containers.
Thad eyes the beer in his hand as the cop stalks off. He chugs it, then follows Barry.
Jesus, man, what are you, trying to get arrested or what?
I'm trying to mind my own fucking business.
Yeah, whatever, man, let's just get you home.
You drink a beer in front of him, and he doesn't do shit. I walk onto campus and I'm a criminal? What's with that? Not that?
I don't know, man, I'm fucking hammered right now. Whoa, what happened to your face?
Yeah, somebody punched it.
I'm not that surprised.
Oh, fuck you. You got another beer?
Sure that's a good idea?
Yes, I am.
All right.
He hands Barry a brew. They drink the cans of beer.
Everything's about slavery.
Why, Barry?
That's why you're an asshole.
Barry smirks and shakes his head.
You're all right, Dad. You're an asshole. But you're all right.
Barry walks away.
Hey, it's 1981, dude. Get over it already.
Thad walks in the opposite direction. Soon after, Barry knocks on Charlotte's door.
Charlotte. Charlotte.
She opens the door and looks at him. He kisses her and enters.
Oh my God, you're bleeding.
I don't want to talk.
What happened to you?
It's nothing.
Where were you tonight?
At a party in Harlem. Favorite place.
She pulls away and turns his cheek.
I'm going to clean you up.
She hurries off. He peers at a stack of black and white photos on her bedside table. He picks them up and flips through the pictures of himself at the park as he sits on her bed. He studies the photo of himself in the fedora. Charlotte returns with a towel and flops down beside him.
Don't.
Stop.
She eyes him sternly, and he stares at the photo.
What's the matter with you?
Why do you like me, Charlotte?
Barry faces her.
What do you mean? I like you because I like you.
No, really. Why do you like me?
Well, I wouldn't like that guy.
The photo.
That's not me, Charlotte.
It was a joke.
She takes the pictures and sets them aside.
Just because you went to Kenya for 5 days, it doesn't mean you understand who I am.
He looks at his hands. She moves behind him on the bed.
You know what your problem is, Barry? You think that this is all about you.
She lies with her back to the wall.
Good night.
Barry glances back. He fingers the gash on his cheek. The next day, he trudges down the sidewalk wearing a grim expression. Soon after, he meets Will in a diner.
What happened to your face?
I don't talk about it.
Barry glances at Will, then grips his water glass.
Well, listen, one of the guys at Robbie's suite just moved out, so there's a room open.
Barry nods.
You should take it.
Are you sure? I know you can't afford the rent by yourself.
I'm ready for a change anyway. Man. I can move in with Celine.
I just feel isolated from campus, you know?
Yeah, it's cool, Will. I get it.
A waitress sets plates of food in front of them. Will turns to Barry.
We'll still hang out, right?
Of course.
Barry stares at his plate. Barry hovers his fork over his plate. Later, he jogs through a park.
Hey! There must be some way out of here. Said the Joker to the thief.
At night, he sits in the Columbia Library window. He strides by a packed pub. Charlotte and a female friend sit at the bar. Another day, Barry plays basketball in the gym. Barry and Charlotte sit in the pub with a friend. She intertwines her fingers in Barry's hand. He jogs through the park. Barry sits on the floor in the library, penning a letter to his dad. Dear Dad, I am sorry it has taken me so long to write. He jogs through the park. Barry slows and stops at a fence overlooking the water. Later, Barry passes by the empty lot in the rough neighborhood. The two dogs lunge at the fence. Barry ignores the barking as he continues past. At Salim's, Barry reads a book. Salim smokes beside an open window. He sips from a can of beer set in the windowsill.
Barry, my brother. We live in a shithole, you know that? I mean, an actual place for shitting. All afternoon, I'm watching white people bring their dogs here to shit. Then they just walk away. They just leave the shit. Look, look, here comes another one now. Hey, clean up after your filthy animal, you filthy animal.
Bedtime for Salim. Come on. Come on. No. Come on.
Barry guides Salim away from the window.
I like that girl, Charlotte, Barry. She called a bit earlier. And she said she's gonna pick you up at noon for the wedding. Oh. Hey, Betty.
Yeah?
You're becoming a real bore.
He helps Salim into bed and he flops on his belly. Barry exits. Sometime later, Barry is asleep in his bed. Barry opens his eyes. Soon after, he dons a shirt as he walks down the hall. He approaches the phone.
Hello?
Barry? Is that you?
Yes, who's this?
Yes, Barry. This is your boat, Jake, in Nairobi. Can you hear me?
Barely. I'm sorry, my aunt. Who?
Aunt Jane. Listen, Barry. Your father is dead. He's killed in a car accident. Hello? Can you hear me? I say your father is dead. Please call your uncle in Boston and tell him. I cannot talk now, okay, Barry? I will try to call you again.
Barry replaces the receiver. He slowly makes his way into the living room and gazes vacantly out the window. Salim appears.
Okay, so don't laugh, but I'm thinking of taking a job on Wall Street. Daddy's got some friends. Just sick of being broke, man. It's getting lame. What do you think?
Salim fixes his hair in a mirror.
Oh, that's it? No, you'll fit in great with the rest of those cokehead assholes. No, if you actually stood for anything, I'd call you a sellout.
Barry sits.
You're becoming a real bore. I mentioned that.
Salim hurries out. Later, Barry rides in the back of a car wearing a suit and tie.
It's like musical chairs. I mean, he
You turn 25, the music stops, and whoever you're dating, you marry. It's not just my sister either. It's all of her friends. I don't see them for a few months, and then bam, they show up with rocks on their fingers and some random guy in tow. And it's like, wow, what a coincidence. You all just happen to meet your soulmate within 6 months of each other. What are the odds?
Barry stares out the window. Charlotte eyes him.
Hey. You feel really far away.
Sorry.
He puts his arm around her, and she nestles into his side and caresses his hand.
Not what I meant.
She peers up at him.
Do you hate weddings or something?
No, I've never been to a wedding. Except for my mother's.
Well, would you ever want to get married? I don't mean now. I don't even mean to me. I just mean, is it something you could see yourself doing someday?
No, it's not an institution I put much faith in. My parents were married 5 times between them, or 6. And I'm not even sure about my father.
He purses his lips, then turns back to the window.
Well, are you nervous about meeting my family?
Do I look nervous to you?
No.
Charlotte furrows her brow.
You look like you're going into battle.
He strokes his chin. Soon after, they arrive at a sprawling white estate as formally dressed guests arrive in chauffeured vehicles. Inside.
All right, big smiles. Now hold it. Just one more.
A photo of the wedding party.
Come on. Great. All right, all the fellas. Yeah, Barry, come join us. You stand with Martin here. Hey, George.
The men gather together. Martin turns to Barry.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of an uptight crowd, huh?
Kind of an uptight guy.
Martin looks confused, and Barry smiles.
Great, now, all the ladies.
Barry passes Charlotte. She watches him as the women join together for a photograph.
Ready?
Barry leans on the bar.
It's the second time this week.
The second.
Listen, you have to take it easy. You know, they're not like back home. Hello, sir. Can I get you something?
I'm killing time.
Barry sets a smoke between his lips as the man cleans glasses. He offers Barry a light, then Barry perches on a bar stool.
How are you guys doing today?
Fine, sir.
My name's Barry.
Fred.
Ephraim.
They shake Barry's hand, then return to their duties.
Well, where are you guys from?
We're Ugandan.
Yeah, I thought so. My father is from Kenya.
Ah!
Fred sets out an ashtray.
Yeah, he died recently.
My condolences to you and your family.
Mine as well.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was today, actually. I got a phone call this morning from an aunt I never met.
The men stare at Barry, then glance at each other. He looks up at them.
Actually, you know what? I will have a drink.
Ephraim nods.
What do you got back there?
It's a full bath, sir.
I'll have a bug.
The bartender fills a glass with ice, then retrieves the bottle of liquor. He pours it halfway full. Barry nods, and the man fills the glass to the top.
Cheers.
Barry takes a sip. Barry glances back as Charlotte's parents welcome guests to the reception. Soon after, Barry joins Charlotte at their table.
This is my boyfriend, Barry.
Barry.
Barry, this is Donna.
Barry.
Ted.
Barry.
And Emily.
Pleasure.
Oh, and this is my cousin, Melissa.
Barry.
Kathy appears.
Barry, there's someone I'm dying to introduce you to.
Just when I thought I met everyone.
She strokes Charlotte's cheek, then leads Barry away. Charlotte looks down grimly. Bill dances with the bride. Barry and Kathy approach a couple seated at another table.
Barry, meet James and Grace Lee, two of the most brilliant, committed writers and activists I have ever had the pleasure to know.
I'm honored to meet you.
Grace Lee tried to convince Malcolm X to run for Senate in 64.
It almost worked, too. Wow.
I thought you might want to meet them, especially because of your parents.
She leaves Barry with the black man and Asian woman.
Have a seat, Barry.
He complies.
Are your parents in the movement?
No, not really. They're different races. I'm guessing that's what Kathy meant.
I see.
My mom's from Kansas and my dad's from Kenya. I've only met him once, though. I grew up in Jakarta and Honolulu and spent a little time in California, then I ended up here.
That's some kind of gumbo. You know what that makes you, young brother?
No, sir, I don't. I really, really don't.
It makes you American, and you don't ever have to choose.
You know, I see you both sitting here together in love.
Yes, sir.
And full of wisdom. And I can't help but think that the two of you must have been through all kinds of hell together. I mean, doing what you've done and looking how you look.
You take the baton from the ones who've come before, and you carry it as far as you can, and then you hand it off.
That's life, a beautiful struggle.
They smile at Barry. Barry looks pensive, then smiles slightly.
They say every man needs protection.
Deep in thought, he walks through the reception and across the dance floor.
Must fall.
So Charlotte stops him. She leads him back onto the floor and wraps her arms around his neck. They sway back and forth to the music. Charlotte's parents dance nearby. Charlotte wraps her hands around the base of his neck and stares into his eyes. She leans forward and they touch noses. Bill and Kathy smile at each other. Barry and Charlotte wrap their arms around each other and he nestles into her neck. They rock back and forth. He pulls back, whispers to her and stares at her sadly. Her eyes fill with tears. Charlotte presses her hands on his chest and he steps back. He walks away.
Day.
Barry heads out of the room. He glances back at Charlotte standing alone on the dance floor. Barry exits and walks away from the mansion, smoking a cigarette. He crosses the grassy property as the evening sky lights up with hues of pink and purple. Barry sits in a sand trap smoking a cigarette, the sprawling estate in the background. Barry puts his burning cigarette filter down in the sand. He withdraws his wallet from his suit jacket pocket and removes his letter. He unfolds the paper and reads.
Dear Dad, I'm sorry it has taken me so long to write you back. I've thought of you and your invitation to visit every day. Sometimes I feel that there is a part of me I do not know. When I'm feeling optimistic, I find myself believing that you hold the answers I am looking for. My journey so far has not been as dramatic as yours. I'd like to think I can imagine what you felt when you arrived in Hawaii. Perhaps even what you felt when you met Mom. I suppose I've spent these last months in New York trying to find my way. Maybe that is all any of us do. I look forward to discussing these things with you, Dad. It's high time we got to know each other. Love. Barack.
He stares ahead, solemnly. The next morning, Barry awakens in his bed. Sun streams in the window behind him. He peels back the covers and sets his feet on the floor. He stretches his back and extends his neck. Barry dons white running shoes. Barry walks to the outdoor basketball court. He ducks under an opening in the fence and enters. A young boy shoots hoops. Barry approaches him.
Hey. You wanna play horse?
Sure.
You can shoot first.
He lines up a shot.
Oh, okay. Woo! Nice one.
Barry takes a shot.
I got an H.
He passes to the boy.
Right here.
Okay.
The boy shoots and misses.
Pretty good, pretty good. Guess I'm up. Where are you from?
Riverside. How about you?
From a lot of places. But I live here now.
Credits. Cast: Devin Terrell as Barry, Anya Taylor-Joy as Charlotte, Jason Mitchell as PJ, Eller Coltrane as Will, Jenna Elfman as Kathy Bauman, Linus Roach as Bill Bauman, Avi Nash as Salim, John Benjamin Hickey as Professor Gray, Ashley Judd as Ann Dunham, Sawyer Pierce as Thad, Eric Berryman as Ali, Ralph Rodriguez as Andre, Danny Enriquez as Milton, Tessa Albertson as Tina, Tommy Nelson as Buzz, Annabelle Adanasio as Sylvia, Matt Ball as Dennis, Marquita Prescott as Denise, Suleiman C. Savan as Fred, Brandon Bermeo as Etta, Eugene Jordan IV as the breakdancer. Casting by Douglas Eibel, CSA. Music supervisor, Joe Rudge. Music by Danny Bensi and Sonder Jurians. Editor, Jacob Craycroft. Costume designer, Amela Baksik. Production designer, Scott Cusio. Production manager, Heather Levenstone. Art director, Miles Michael. Set decorator, Olivia Peebles. Stills photographer, Linda Calaris. Gaffer, Derek Gross. Key grip, Jesse Saviola. Production supervisor, Kurt Enger. Director of photography, Adam Newport Berra. Associate producers, Michael Heimler and Matthew Bose Campbell. Co-producer, Jeffrey Kwan. Executive producer, Daniel Steinman. Produced by Dana O'Keefe, Teddy Schwartzman, Ben Stillman, and Vikram Gandhi. Written by Adam Mansbach. Directed by Vikram Gandhi. Songs, Rappers Convention Part 1, Jump On It, Gozando A, Philosophy Rappin' Spree, A Heartbeat Rap, Shake It Lucy, The Big Beat, Dance This Mess Around, Don't You Try to Stop Me, At the Party, Kamikaze Love, Keep On Moving, Totally Together, This Land Is Your Land, Body Rock, Divertimento in B-flat, Allegro, Bobby Babylon, New York's Movin', Heartbeat, I'm Under Your Spell, 2001 Kazoos, All Along the Watchtower, Love Can Last Forever, I Shall Be Released, Nobody Knows. But he could not understand. Technicolor, Postworks New York, Parabolic, Light Iron, Freestyle VFX, SAG-AFTRA, Black Bear Pictures, Made in NY, Cinetic, New York Film, New York State, filmed with the support of the New York Governor's Office for Motion Picture and Television Development. Filmed on location in and around New York, New York. Copyright 2016, BBP Berry LLC. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.